Good day, ladies and gents. You are listening to Recovery 101 Masterpiece Radio. This program is based loosely on 12-step recovery programs. The format is less like a meeting and more so like having a coffee and chatting about various crap afterwards. The meeting after the meeting, as it were. That's right, folks. Another show is here brimming over with recovery. So remember, we used to suffer from insanity, but now we do so enjoy it. So please sit back, relax, partake, and thank you so much for your support, likes, and comments at recovery101.net. It's listeners like you that keep us in the garage and off the blues.
Thank you to Lori Faith for our marvelous Masterpiece Theater edition of the Recovery 101 jingle.
Simply marvelous.
Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMMDRAHAFA, or none of them there, guys.
You sure?
I'm sure.
Okay.
We don't even speak that well for ourselves, as you're about to discover. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelly.
And Mark.
Ah, oh, Shelly, that was really low.
I disappeared again. Oh, there I am. Hello.
Sweet.
Dude. Sweet.
So, Shelly, how was your day?
Okay. I mean, I didn't go to church. I had to work. And I went to brunch with you and Mom and ate too much food and felt sick. That was my day. And then I cleaned.
And then you what?
And then I cleaned.
I thought you said you peed.
Well, I did that all day.
Oh, well, oh, congratulations.
I mean, that's an important part of your day.
TMI. So that's it?
What else?
You got nothing else exciting going on in your life?
Like what?
I don't know.
Always looks at me like there's something going on in my life that I should know about. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Really? I was just thinking about the only thing you've talked about the last few days.
Is this your surprise party?
My hair falling out?
USA Swimming.
Oh, well, I went to a swimming clinic yesterday for training and it ended up. It looked like it was going to be partially about administrative stuff having to do with, you know, managing a swim team.
Uh-huh.
And it was not at all about that, even a little bit. And I now know more about stroke technique than I really wanted to know. Phrasing.
Wait a minute.
Good for you, Bruce.
You know about stroke technique?
Phrasing.
I'll be the judge of that.
Being an expert.
Yeah. You know.
I know all about opening up your stroke and
me too.
Getting it in the armpit.
Ooh.
me too.
Wow. Haven't tried that one before. Okay.
Yeah, get just a little more flexible.
Looking forward to although I gotta be honest, I'm not sure that really turns me on. Armpit.
I'm telling you what I learned.
Well, you can show me later.
Right.
In the pool?
I hope not.
I have a pool.
We could make a pool.
In the concrete pond?
Phrasing. What's going on with you, Mark?
Not much. I had my birthday yesterday. And
oh, shit. That's right.
So.
Happy birthday. You're old.
Oh, and there.
Debbie took me to lunch in the movies, and then my younger sister took me to dinner at the pantry. And
what'd you go see at the movies?
Hockey game. I saw American Made.
Was it good?
My mom just saw it. She said it was really good.
It was good. About a guy.
Cool.
You're not going to see it, Charlie.
It's a Tom Cruise thing.
Oh, forget it then.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Hair on fire.
I like Tom Cruise. Yeah. I like the
He's creepy.
Mission Impossible movie. Well, no, yeah, of course he's creepy. He's like Landmark Forum creepy.
Yeah. Then I went to dinner and to the Kings game last night.
Sweet.
And then by prayer agreement, I stayed home all day today and watched football.
By prayer
agreement with whom?
Who else?
Debbie?
You?
Yeah, Debbie. Debbie needs to know that today was going to be, it was my birthday weekend, and today was a football day. Leave me alone.
I had to work today, but I had the Bengals ticker going on in another tab, so I was, I was plugged in there. Who day?
Well, they beat Cleveland.
So?
My mother's team could beat Cleveland.
My mother beat Cleveland the other day by herself.
Who day?
We don't know.
What happened with the Bears? They play?
Bears played Thursday. They finished second.
Oh. Yeah, well. They play...
Green Bay.
Yeah, shit. Yeah, see, that sucks for me because I have a friend that is just a huge Green Bay fan. So when they play Green Bay and they lose, yeah.
You get to hear about it.
Yeah, no, so, not so much for me. So...
how about you?
I mourned...
The passing?
Of Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too. We all showed up to work and smoked.
I had an armband that had tits on it.
I'm just here to read the articles.
We have that in the news?
Of course
we've got
we
something
do.
About that
We'd
in the
better.
News.
Of course we do.
I actually posted that on every single guy's Hugh Hefner thread that day that he died. I would just type in, I only read the articles. On every single one.
I read very few
articles. I got fairly good
articles.
Response. Actually, there were a lot of good articles, to be honest, yeah, in that magazine.
But the biggest lie is that guys were reading those.
I know, but that's why it's funny, because I'm not a guy.
Right.
So then
so
people
you,
would wonder
you,
if
you,
that was really what I was doing.
I guarantee it's not
the
what you
The only
were doing.
Constructive thing that I ever learned out of Playboy magazine was to take the plastic off of the albums, because otherwise they would warp.
Otherwise what?
They would warp.
I missed that article.
I actually saw that one. It's one of the few articles I saw. I think because two pages stuck together to just open that one.
Oh. He went there.
And me, not so much on Playboy, really. Because back then, like, the one that was always a little harder than Playboy was Bob Guccione's Penthouse. And then, of course,
then
you
Hustler.
Had things like We, and
yeah.
then Larry Flint came in and just blew the doors off of everything.
Hustler, yeah.
Yeah. I remember I had a Hustler centerfold poster in my room on the wall, and my mom was like...
The girl who wanted to be the brain surgeon?
My mom was like, seriously? You're going to have that visible in your room? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And she's like, well, I guess you're 18. You can do whatever you want. And I'm like, great, because that's what I'm having on the wall. So... Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
Okay, we have shout outs to the other Mark, M, Fran, Carol, Lisa, John, Joey, James, Randy, Mitch, Susan, Dan, Stryker, Johnny, Alexandria, Jane, Lynn, Damon, Natalie, Sally, Dakota, Georgette, Jack, somebody, Joe, and Jacqueline.
Wow.
Okay.
Jacqueline.
That's new follower. Hi, Jacqueline.
Hey, Jacqueline. Shout out.
Jacqueline.
And speaking of Hugh Hefner and other disgusting bodily fluids.
Wait.
You're not doing Hugh Hefner yet. California state officials have started an investigation, and they're probably pulling the feds into this because... Some of these things were sent through the U.S. Postal Service. School districts in Fountain Valley, Los Angeles, Fullerton, Inland Empire, Fullerton... Oh, just Fullerton is in there twice. Chatsworth and Capistrano Unified and Newport Mesa had to send home statements to parents to let them know that there is an investigation of a music teacher who has a program where he would take recorders to round to all the schools and let the kids decorate them and paint them and teach them how to play like Mary Had a Little Lamb and crap like that.
Okay, so far it sounds pretty
Yeah, he's an
regular.
Independent contractor.
Uh-oh.
One of the parents brought the flute back to school because it had something stuck in it. And it turned out to be semen.
Oh.
So after after that particular school investigated the other ones that were given to students and notified the district that they all had that, and here's somebody calling that probably knows they shouldn't be calling.
No, it's not someone that should know that.
And then the school district started, you know, sending out notifications, and then one of the school districts said that he had mailed them to the school. So because now the Postal Service is involved... It's probably going to be a federal investigation. Yeah, that's kind of gross.
That gives a whole new meaning to the word trombone.
I know, but I'm thinking of, you know, think about those little wooden recorders that kids play. the guy must have a really tiny dick.
I don't think that's... Yeah, see, maybe it's me because that just doesn't turn me on, but it's like, yeah, just the amount of work to go through to make sure your semen goes into all those musical instruments is just... Is it just in recorders?
Yeah, they're just... They're like those wooden...
See, I don't remember exactly what a recorder is.
It looks like a little flute, only you play it like, you know, down instead of to the side. And the kids buy them. They're like a toy. And they're usually made out of wood or plastic or whatever. Yeah. And they don't
have a reed.
They just
are, so are they giving this guy the death penalty?
I don't know what's going to happen.
No,
more will be revealed.
I think they should fry him pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty disgusting. The parents are understandably freaking out. Because when the letter that was sent out to them didn't actually specify the fluid, said they may have been contaminated with bodily fluids, and it didn't actually say. And
well,
then,
apparently they know now.
Because a reporter got a hold of the story and found out what it actually was and put it on the news, and now the parents are like really freaked out.
I understandably so.
Well, first they'd be pissed because the school didn't tell them exactly what it was, and secondly they'd be pissed because it happened. I mean,
yeah.
So it's like a double whammy.
Well, I mean, come on. Why do you have to put it in the recorder? Just go look, honey. There's you could maybe paint some holes on your Schwanstucker and just have them play it directly.
Sure.
Oh, so the guy is, so what you're telling me is the guy is like not gross and not inappropriate already?
You're talking about child abuse.
And the other is not?
They both are, but why would
you even think of that?
I'm just thinking of the guy.
That's disgusting. Okay,
if you're into that sort of thing, I can't imagine that he went to all the trouble to put that into a recorder.
Well, he did, and apparently for a while. This has been going on. All right, the next story is in Mexico.
Hola, ¿qué tal?
Mexican officials... Oh, there goes my phone again. That would be my boss telling me things.
Did you tell her, hey, explore the possibilities.
Of me
we're
taking
recording.
The rest of the day off.
Peligroso. Ooh, peligroso y bueno también.
So far, they've found 77,000 bottles that were contaminated. 8 people were sent to the hospital. 1 person died.
Wow, how much meth is in these things?
Enough to kill somebody.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
So, you know, just a heads up, anybody going to Mexico, don't drink any 7-Up.
Well, unless you're a loady, and then just don't drink a whole bunch.
The company said the Dr. Pepper Snapple Group, which is who owns 7-Up, has stated that American consumers do not need to worry about contamination because this was from plants that were actually in Mexico.
Dr. Pepper. Da, 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 da.
Okay, we have an update.
Dr. Pepper.
We have an update. Are you going to stop singing now? Last week, we had the story about the mad pooper, remember? The woman that was jogging.
Yes. Oh, and did they catch her?
No, they have not caught her yet. She's still jogging all over Colorado. Colorado Springs, actually, is the town that she's jogging through. An unidentified man posted on social media. He posted a video.
Said of her
that
pooping?
He was, yes. Said that he was the spokesperson for the mad pooper. That
what?
Her name is, he called her Shirley. And said that she can't help herself.
Shirley, you
because
just.
Because she's suffering from a traumatic brain injury and has issues after gender reassignment surgery. So she just can't stop herself from pooping.
So it's Caitlyn Jenner.
And he also said that he believes that her actions were protected under the First Amendment and the government cannot control when and where she does her business.
Yes,
which
they
is
can.
Actually not true.
Of course.
Defecating, according to Jeffrey
Everybody.
Lowe, a criminal defense attorney, said that defecating in someone's yard is definitely not protected under the First Amendment and is actually a crime.
Yeah. At the very least, I would think it would be a couple
decency,
of crimes.
Public decency laws. For
yeah, I was going to say the exposure, what do they call it?
Indecent exposure.
Indecent exposure, at least. Probably vandalism as well. Probably health codes.
Well, meanwhile, on Twitter,
she blew
Charmin has offered the Mad Pooper, and I'm quoting them here, a year's supply of Charmin to help her with the runs. Because she's a jogger.
Yeah. I get that. It seems like they could have done something better than that.
Well, that's what they posted. If she turns herself in. She only gets a year's supply if she turns herself in.
Well, if she turns herself in, she's not going to need it because she'll be in county for a while.
Possibly.
Depends would have been better.
Yes, depends might have worked
better. Okay, the next story is out of Denver, Colorado. Another Colorado story. Mandy Shepard went back to her car after she had been shopping and found a scrap, which, you know, that's kind of a bummer. Somebody bashed into her car or something. She started to leave.
I go to get into our car, and I would not even notice a scratch on the bumper.
She started to leave when she looked in her side view mirror and realized there was a small envelope stuck to the mirror. So she stopped and retrieved it. The envelope was a note.
Oh.
And it said, inside the envelope, it said, "Hey, I am very sorry, truly. I am such a dumbass. Please forgive me. Sorry for the scratch, man." It included $40 cash and half a joint.
you know what? I mean, you're bummed that your bumper got scratched, but I'd probably call that an amends right there.
First off, you smoke half the joint, you no longer care your bumper got scratched.
Yeah.
Well, and if
and then
the
you
guy
got 40
gave
bucks
you,
to buy Cheetos and 7
if
Up.
If the guy gave you half a joint, he probably gave you half his stash right there. He's like, "Dude, I had one joint. I got to tell you, I did smoke half of it, but I thought I'd share it with you. And here's 40 bucks so you can go buy Doritos and Munchies afterwards."
Yeah.
Hey, works for me.
Throw in the story, Shelley, about my cousin last night.
Shelley, why is your phone making livestock sounds?
My phone bleats like a sheep whenever I get a text. And my boss is like currently on the warpath because she doesn't understand the concept of day off.
So
she never takes a day off, so nobody else can.
My cousin went to see Megadeth and the Scorpions last night and took an Uber. And Shelley, what happened?
The Uber driver double parked to let them out at the venue. And when Julie opened the door, she took off the mirror of a passing car. Oh. I'm like, well, that can't possibly be her fault because the guy was double parked.
And I think she left and just said, "You got to figure this out because you double parked out in traffic."
Yep.
I think so.
They will figure it out. She'll get a bill.
You know, unfortunately for her, I'm like, whether someone's parked out in traffic or not, I don't know if you can swing your car door open into the traffic lane that you're parked out in makes you any less culpable.
Well, we'll find out, I'm sure. Okay.
She's going to get a credit card charge for the cost of fixing the deal.
That's what I'm thinking.
Because they have her card on file, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, this story was sent in by the other Mark M. in
Florida!
Yes, 55-year-old man has been arrested.
It was me.
Vincent Frederick Sperling.
Uh-oh.
Three names.
Dope feed.
Was visiting a friend of his who is a patient, and he's been accused of administering cocaine in her IV line.
Oh. Fucking awesome.
He mixed it into a syringe and put it right into the...
I'm intimately...
How's that work, Bruce?
I'm intimately acquainted with that.
How's that work, Bruce?
Well, it probably would have worked better if I would have spent more time figuring out how much an actual slam would be, because what I did is I took the cocaine that my friend brought me to the hospital and I just mixed it all up and then stuck it into, and you know, back in the day, the IVs were a little bit different. I stuck it into the IV and you could turn it off. And I figured I would turn it off and turn it on and turn it off and turn it on.
Right.
The problem is, as you start to drip the cocaine, I don't know how much liquid's in a drip. I don't know how many drips are in a hit.
And how much cocaine's in that drip.
Exactly. And I just let it start to go. I'll just wait until I feel it and then I'll turn it off, which is a really horrifically bad idea.
Well, you know what that sounds like, Shelly? Here, hold my syringe.
Yes. Yeah. Because when I felt it and I went to turn it off, which, by the way, even if I had turned it off right at that moment, the rest of the stuff in the tube was going to drain into my arm anyway. And by the time I got my hand over by where I could have turned it off, I was shaking so badly I couldn't really grab the thing to turn it off. And I grand mal seizured in critical care unit, and the entire hospital rushed in because I finally was able to turn it off, but in my seizure state, I pulled some of my heart
EKG
monitoring things
off,
and the machine flatlined. And 3.5 seconds later, there's 20 people in my room when they come in, and they've got the paddles, and they're going to bring me back to life, and they're squirting the shit on them. They're like, clear! And I'm like, no! And the guy's like, oh, wait, he's not dead. And then, to be honest with you, so I convinced him his low blood sugar. And back then, you didn't test like blood sugar like real quick, like the way they can now with blood testers. You had to get blood taken, and they were going to go test it. And I told him it was low blood sugar. And the last girl that went to leave said, oh, your saline is off. And she turned it back on. And it went drip, drip, drip. And I was very quick. The moment she turned her back, I turned it off. But it was...
It was the proper amount.
It was all wrong from the gate on that.
Should have planned this out better.
Ask any dope fiend. Any dope fiend would say, that's freaking brilliant. I mean, it's perfect. If you really knew what you were doing. And I'm guessing that what this guy did is he probably made what would be considered a regular dose and just stuck it in the IV so she'd get it all at one time. And I didn't do that. I made several doses and thought that somehow I was going to magically control them.
Of course.
Which was really bad thinking.
We always try to manage control.
Yeah, not so much. My doctor walked straight up to me in the morning and said, don't bring that shit in my hospital. And I'm like, what? And he goes, don't lie to me.
Obviously, the blood work came back overnight.
Yeah. You weren't having an insulin reaction. Your blood pressure's like way high. Your pulse rate's like 160.
You were sweating.
It wasn't 160, but whatever it was, it was quite fast.
Fran sent the next story in. This is dumb shit of the week.
Fantastic. Here, hold my beer.
Ottawa, Canada, a model may have permanent vision loss in one eye when she allowed her now ex-boyfriend to tattoo her eyeball with purple ink.
Oh.
I saw that picture.
And you know what? There's people, though. There is...
It's called sclera tattooing.
Yeah, there's people that do it that apparently know what they're doing and can permanently change your eye color on the white part of your eye. But I would think that that is not... something that there is a gigantic amount of, like, I doubt you have to have a permit or anything to do it, because it's one of those things that's so new, the FDA is just like, what the hell? We don't even have any rules on that.
They said that he used too big of a needle. He put it too deep into her
eye. Oh, my God.
And used pure ink instead of ink diluted with saline, which is what you're supposed to use, I guess, with the eye. She went to the hospital right away because her eye started to swell up. And if you look at the pictures, oh my God, it's horrific.
I'm not looking at those.
But the
doctor, I'll look at a picture of the model before she had her eye destroyed.
The doctor sent her. Oh, she had beautiful eyes. The doctor sent her home because they weren't sure that anything was wrong. I'm like, you see this eyeball and you tell me there's nothing wrong with it? Give me a break.
Yeah, because I would think that when he went to do it, there is a significant amount of ink in the eye, no matter what.
Yeah, she went to another doctor later on. And who was properly horrified, and she's been scheduled for surgery, but the ophthalmologist that is going to do the surgery isn't sure whether or not they can restore her vision.
Well.
Oh, well. You know.
If you're going to be dumb enough to get somebody to tattoo the inside of your eyeball, I suppose I should have more sympathy. I am having a hard time getting anything to come up on my...
Oh.
Am I... Okay.
There you are.
So
So, okay, if you're going to do that, if you're going to be dumb enough to do that, then...
Here comes somebody.
Here comes somebody. Okay, Fran sent this. This is the last story for this show. Fran sent this one in. And this is why we can't have nice things, apparently. Oh, Bruce also sent this one in.
Okay.
At the Ars Electronica Festival in Austria.
Yes.
Last week.
This is fantastic.
The brand new sex robot called Samantha.
Nerd Rampage.
Was severely damaged by a nerd rampage of basically young men
feeling her up
and dry humping her and stuff. And the creator is distressed about this because she is she's not a sex toy. She is an artificial intelligence being, and she responds best to being wooed. And actually, she has different reactions based on different things that you do to her.
Oh, okay.
Well, yes, but she is a sex toy.
Yes, but he doesn't think of her that way. And he's extremely distressed that he called them barbarians and that they molested her.
Not only is she a sex toy, she's like a $25,000 sex toy.
No, $5,000.
No, that particular one, that's the one they did all the research and development on.
Yeah, and he said he's been selling them.
Right, but this is the original one. This is the one they spent all the money on.
Research and development.
Yeah.
How can you guys get in on
that? I know what he was researching. I know what was developing.
Was there a grant for this, and how do we get in on this study?
Yeah, they like...
And is it cheating?
Her breasts were, like, severely damaged. You know, it's like...
Wait, is it cheating?
He said she was heavily soiled.
Yeah, heavily soiled. That's just the term right there. It's like, really?
Was she wearing a flute?
You
know what she had? A recorder.
Yeah.
She had a recorder in her mouth, too.
Oh! That, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
So we're back.
Welcome back.
We're done talking about soiled love dolls. Tja.
And recorders.
And recorders. That was kind of a creepy, boozy news tonight.
You really sandwiched that news well.
You know what we were missing tonight, though? There was no, like, weird animal bestiality.
Or pirate costumes.
Yeah, and no pirate costumes. What the hell? So, Shelley, we have a topic.
We do? 8 and 9?
Okay.
8 and 9.
All right.
Which are?
Go to it. Wait, I have to start at the beginning.
Made a list of.
Okay.
I was going to say, you're not going to start at 1, are you?
She does. That's what she does.
That's what I do. I have to start at 1 and go all the way down to get to.
Okay. So that's how she mesmerized him.
Yes. Made a list of persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And then 9 is made direct amends to such persons wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Go.
Okay. So. Impressions on step 8, because if you read in the big book, it says, make a list. You already made this list when you made your inventory, and it's kind of like, so that part's done, which is really the part that would take the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel with my sponsees, if they're not willing to make the amends after writing inventory and sharing it and all that, then we probably need to go back to like step 3.
Well. Step 7, at least, because if you get humble, you take your ego out of the need to make amends, because our ego keeps us from doing it.
Yeah, and you're asking God to remove all your character defects, which if you're going to make amends, that's... Yeah. So what do you think, Shelley?
Yeah, because we're done talking about it now.
Actually, I don't... I can get
my stupid microphone to work. I actually don't really know. I wasn't listening because... all the text that I got earlier was Yvette texting me pictures of Lickety and Lucky the puppy wearing...
Wait. They got 2?
No, Lickety is her cat.
Oh.
And Lucky is the puppy.
Lickety and Lucky?
Wearing sushi and hot dog costumes. They're so cute.
Oh, my God.
So you guys got to keep talking about like step 9 for just a second.
Okay, well, we weren't talking about step 9. That shows how much she wasn't listening.
We were on 8.
So, Mark.
Yeah.
So, you've got someone.
So, I've got this list.
Yeah. So, what do you tell your sponsees?
We walk through the list one by one. We talk about what the need is to make amends for, if there is a need to make amends, and whether the amends can be made and what the procedure will be for making such amends.
Yes.
So, and make sure they're willing to follow that procedure.
Yeah, and if they're willing, they're done with step eight.
Yeah. Yep.
So, Shelley, how do you take your sponsees through step eight?
You either cut off or write down all of the names in the first column.
That's it.
Well, it's already made. You already made your list.
What about the second part of step eight?
Oh, became willing to. Well.
Shelley just took it to
know.
The Shelley took it to the stripped right. down version yeah. of the program.
Well, because you've got amends that you're willing to make, amends that you will make,
amends you don't want
to
make,
amends that you're willing to make just not yet,
and amends that you would probably make but you really don't
that
want
you
to.
You would rather be dragged through broken glass on a 110 degree parking lot than make.
Yes.
Okay, well, if you're not at least willing to make your amends in general, then there's something wrong.
No.
You should be willing at this point.
Should be. But should be.
What if
and
they're
being.
Not? What if you get to, what, because I don't think I've ever had this happen, at least with guys like Spencer. What if you get to the point and they've got the list, they go over it, you're like, you need to make amends for this, 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 and this, and they say, I'm not willing to do that.
I've never had that happen, so I don't know what I would do.
What would you do, Mark?
Well, I look at the amend. We look at what the issue is.
No, they just say, I'm not willing to make any amends yet. I mean, I'm not ready to do step nine yet.
Then get the fuck out. Here's $4. Go get a beer.
I don't Ooh. Think you can get a beer for $4 anymore.
Really?
Oh, tall boy.
Wow. Oh, of course you can.
Of course you can.
Sure you can.
They sell
you can get a quart for like a couple bucks.
They're selling Olympia again. Of course you can.
Yeah, you can go buy some Billy beer. Yeah, so. Plain wrap. Yeah, remember the wrap beer? Ooh.
Well, you know, here's the thing. The one story I think about right now is people who've done the steps before. Like, I've done the steps numerous times. And when I started going through the steps, and I did my fourth and my fifth in FA, it was time to do 6 and 7 and 8 and 9.
Right.
And I stopped, and I didn't do 6 for 3 months. Because I knew once I did 6 and 7, I was going to get to my amends. I knew I had amends to make to my ex, and I was going to see my ex at my daughter's wedding, and I didn't want to make amends to her then, so I just held off doing 3 steps before that, so I didn't come up against it.
That's way too much thinking ahead for me.
That's time, baby.
Well, I have a tendency. I have a tendency when I'm working with sponsees to do 5, 6, 7, and 8 all at the same time. I mean, not at the you know simultaneously,
right.
but during the same section of time,
right.
Well,
the only thing being is my sponsor took me through a different way of wanting 6 done this time, and it took a little time. So we talked about
became
that.
Became willing? Yeah. We talked about that before.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Go back 4 shows if you don't remember.
Yeah,
what that
this
was.
Is. And then, so the person says they're willing, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
now it's time to do step 9.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys. I tend to, through working the 8th step and going over everything on the list, you know, talking about the list, I have a tendency to put them on whichever one seems like it's going to be the hardest for them. And I'm like, look, we're going to do the one that you really don't want to do. This is the one that you really don't want to do. Because once you do this and you're successful doing this, all the other ones are not going to seem as bad.
So, but here's the question. Because I don't think you're done with step 8 yet. Because it's like, okay, now we're going through them. We have our list, right?
Right. We made it when we wrote our inventory.
Okay. So on my list is I stole $5,000 from my last employer before I left there. And they have no way of knowing.
Yeah,
and
so?
And if I go make amends to them...
You're going to go to jail.
I'm going to go to jail.
Yep,
I
you
have
should
a
be willing
wife
to do that.
And two children who will then be kicked out of their house and will have no place to live. So this will injure others by making that amend.
Big Book says you should do it.
Big Book doesn't say you should do it. Big Book
said you should be willing to do it.
You should be willing to do it. So.
Well, what does that mean? Well, I mean, if you should be willing to do it, then it sounds like it's asking you to do it instead of saying you should not be willing. But, see, the Big Book is pretty innocuous. I don't know if innocuous is the right word for this. The Big Book is a little...
There are more loopholes
it's a
around
little
this fucking
weird.
Step than
it's a little
else.
Weird when it talks about that yeah. in the book because yeah. it says he should be willing to do that because it puts it in that same kind of context. It's like he'd bring hardship on his own family and they would, you know, his wife wouldn't be able to make it. She might have to move. You know, it's that whole kind of thing. But then it says, and the ex-wife could have him thrown in jail. But of course she didn't, which is not.
Well,
that's the example they use.
That's because he owed her money.
Yeah, well, and that's the example they use. Of course she didn't. Well, you know what? Just because you say, you know, I stole $5,000 from you and I'm willing to start making payments, like what he says, I'm willing to make payments like yeah. to his ex-wife. Just because the book says, of course she didn't ask him to go to jail, does not mean your former employer yeah. might just say, yeah. throw
See,
the book at him.
Here's the
we
thing
want to make
the,
an example.
Here's the
of
thing
him.
About the Big Book that I really notice. Nobody gets thrown in jail in that book.
Yeah, but in real life they do.
Yeah.
Well,
they paint this rosy picture for all new alcoholics who are fresh, and because you're doing the right thing now, everything's going to be fine, and that's bullshit. It ain't going to be fine.
Might be. I went and made an amends, and it was a fuck of a lot more than $5,000, and I went to make an amends, and this was my first amends I did, because my sponsor said, this is going to be your hardest one, I want you to do it first. And I went because I had taken probably more like $60,000 or $70,000 worth of jewelry from this place. And I'm
that
like,
no longer existed.
I'm like, I am
that no
yeah,
longer existed.
Right, but that no longer existed. But still, you're admitting to this theft. It's like if they had called the cops and I had to admit to cops to make a theft, I'm not sure the DA needs the original people to even bring a charge against you if you're admitting you did something. And I'm thinking, I'm going to jail. I'm going to jail. And, you know, and I'm sure that I'm not the only person that's ever gone and, you know, made amends for that they stole money.
But how do you handle that with the fact that, you know what, I have a wife and two small children and their lives, I am going to injure them by making this amends, by admitting this out there. I'm willing to do something to make amends for it, but not that. Because the Ninth Step says I don't do it. I don't do that.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what I would do in this. Well, Shelly, what would you do in this situation?
I would say to find the workaround because you can't injure the people that you're trying to make amends to while you're in the process of making amends to somebody else. I mean, that's just a dumpster fire. I'd probably find some way for him to anonymously pay back the company. If they don't have any way of knowing that that person was the one who actually did it.
I was too good. I buried it.
Well, oh, it was you?
It wasn't me.
Oh, wasn't you? Okay.
I would never admit something like that on the air. Don't be silly.
Oh, is this hypothetical?
This is hypothetical.
Oh, okay. I thought you were actually talking about somebody you knew.
I knew that.
Mm-hmm. No. $5,000? I wouldn't waste my time.
Oh. Yeah. Just find some way for them to. We would have to find the workaround in terms of pay, because it would have to be paid back.
Well,
that would be the amends, is you'd have to pay it back.
And you know what? There is another thing in the mix. Because depending on what it was, how it was, and how it was taken, for all we know, that company's insurance may have covered it.
So, it doesn't matter, because you still committed,
Well, yeah, but here's the problem. Yes, you did commit this crime, which you didn't get caught for. If the insurance, well, I guess you could go to the insurance company then, because the problem then becomes now the guys that you originally ripped off now have twice as much money, you know, from you. Because I was going to say, the other thing is you might be like, how can you be of super duper extra service to help other alcoholics to not do these kinds of things in the future?
Forward?
Huh?
Okay,
the
you could pay
a
it
lot
forward.
About paying it forward to me.
You could pay it forward. Yeah, that's true. As long as there is some sort of reparation.
Yeah.
Reparations made somewhere.
Bruce, my guess is over the last 25 years or so, you have probably given out enough money to have made that amend.
I might have. I'm an idiot like that. You don't even know. You know how many people owe me for mattresses and stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, like,
yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, you've done it.
Yeah, a lot. Well, and you know what? I mean, you know, there's just those things that you do. Like, I mean, I haven't spent like thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars doing it, but I've probably bought, over the years, I'll bet I bought 60 or 70 big books for people.
Uh-huh.
There was a time when I was going absolutely insane taking, you know, paying for people's coffees at coffee. Uh-huh. Because I would find all the newcomers that, like, they didn't want to go to coffee because they didn't have any money. And I'm like, I'll get you a coffee.
Yep.
And then the next thing you know, I'm at Starbucks, and now I got a $45 coffee bill. But, you know, things were pretty thick then, so it was okay.
Yep.
So how about, Shelly, what was your hardest amends to make? If you feel like talking about it on the show, that is.
The one I didn't want to make was to your ex. And that was the one my sponsor made me. This is really driving me crazy. Mic cord. That was the one my sponsor made me do first.
Because it's the one you really didn't want to do.
Right. So I had to call her and apologize for talking smack about her and promise that I wouldn't do it anymore. And I particularly would be supportive of her efforts as a parent, which I did. And I still continue to do. And I have kept my word faithfully on that, which at times pisses Courtney off.
Well, you know, it happens. How about you, Mark? What was your toughest one to do? Because sometimes the toughest might not be the most extreme one. I mean, the toughest might be something to do with family or, like, you know, Shelly said to one of my exes, you know, I mean, so yeah. There might be a difference between what is the one that seems like it could be the most hurtful if it all went wrong versus the one to, like, a parent or something where it might be more emotionally tougher.
The toughest one out of all the ones I did, that's your question, right?
Was what?
The toughest one out of all the ones that I did make amends for. I don't know. I'm sitting here thinking about which ones can I talk about on the show.
Well, and that's the thing.
Yeah. And so let's just leave it at there were some tough ones to make, and there were a lot of what my sponsor called universal amends that needed to be made. Just behavioral changes where, A, don't do that anymore.
Right.
And, you know.
As long as you say the amends to the farmer isn't one of them, then we're okay. You're like, you know, I really didn't want to make. You know what? I had a guy I sponsored. As far
sir,
as I know, he's still
sir,
sober.
I did not want to be banging your sheep.
You,
and by the way. Sorry about your daughter.
Yeah. You know what? One of my sponsees, his toughest one was he had been drinking and he crashed his car through a church fence and through a gigantic cross.
Oh.
And got
that,
away. I was able
that,
to get
that,
out of there before they found out anything.
Did that change his relationship with God?
Well, and he had to go back. And he, you know, I told him, I'm like, dude, you can, you know, you got it. It's the church, man. I told him, I said, you know what? He's like, oh my God, it's going to be horrible. And I'm like, first of all, dude, it's a church. A, if you tell them you're going to help them pay for it or you're going to get it fixed, they're going to forgive you. It's a church and it's a Christian church. They're going to be like, turn the other cheek. They're going to be like, we're going to help you, man. Thank you so much for coming and telling us, because right now they don't even know who did it. They have no recourse right now.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, just really sketched out about doing it. Went and talked to the pastor, and the pastor's like, "Wow, I'm so happy you're sober now, my son." You know, and he's like, "We already had a fundraiser. We already have the money to take care of it. I'm, you know, you go on and you live a good life and all that." And he's like, "Oh my God," he goes, "that worked out. Like, I can't even believe it." And I'm like, "Now, but you have the financial amends part of this. That yeah, I know they got a fundraiser and everything, but you know what? Put an extra buck in the basket." Help newcomers, all that kind of stuff.
It's all paying it forward.
Yeah.
It's changing, to me, it's changing our way of life.
Now, Shelly?
Yeah, yes.
Are you trying to figure out how to survive this show?
Have you done all your ninth step?
Well, there were a couple that I wasn't able to reach the person. And so, but I stand ready to make those amends at the first opportunity, which is what it says in the book.
How about you, Mark? Have you made all of your amends?
In accordance with my sponsor's direction, yes.
See, I have not made all my amends. But kind of like in the Shelley's thing, there are people that I haven't been able to find or things like that. It's like my ex-wife, my first ex-wife. Yeah. I have a bunch of amends I could make to her. I have been unable to find her. I've looked her up before. She's not on Facebook or anything like that. It's like I can't see how I'm going to do it. But if I ever meet up with her or something, I would do it. I don't even know that she's alive. I mean, we slammed coke together. She might not even be alive. I don't know. And I've run into friends on Facebook that knew her, that live in the same town as her, and they're like, "Oh, we haven't seen her for years." So it's like I don't even know what to do. There was a time when this guy friended me on Facebook, and I'm like, I was terrified. This was a guy I burned hard for weed in school, and not for like a little bit, like a quarter pound, you know? And the guy's like, "Hey," and he messaged me on Messenger. He's like, "Hey, how you doing?" And I'm like, "Oh man," I'm like, "Dude, I am so sorry." And he's like, "For what?" And I'm like, "Dude, I burned you for that weed in college." And he's like, what are you talking about?" And I'm like, "Dude, remember I burned you for that weed and we're all mad and everything?" He's like, "Dude, that was 35 years ago." He's like, I don't know what to tell you because I don't even really remember it. And I'm like, "Oh." And he's like, why would you tell me that anyway? And I'm like, and so I tell him the thing, you know, I got sober and this and that. He goes, "Great." He goes, "Oh, that's awesome." And I'm like, "And I'm supposed to try and make amends for things?" He goes, "Great, so you're sorry." He goes, "Seriously," he goes, "how often have you thought of that?" And I go, "You know what, it's not like I think of it every day, but in the last 30 years, I've probably thought about that probably quite a few hundred times." And he goes, "Oh, dude." He's like, "Yeah," he goes, "yeah, you know, your guilt level has probably already paid that off." He goes, "because I don't even remember it." Yep. And I was like, "Oh, yeah. God." So, Shelly.
Yes.
What are you doing there?
Well, I've never actually looked at this book that I got for you a long time ago. It was in the donation bin at the library years ago.
Is it a program book?
No, it's the U.S. Armed Forces Survival Manual.
So why are we reading that during
the... Trying to figure out how to survive the show.
Topic.
Yeah. I don't know. I was just like, you know, what if like the apocalypse happens like while we're recording the show and I need to know how to save our lives?
Can you make fire out of a rock?
I don't know. I haven't gotten to that part yet.
Oh, because that would be useful.
I was reading the part about edible seaweeds.
Edibles?
You were reading
the chapter on edibles?
Edible seaweed.
Wow, that's an interesting way to do it.
Well, that's really good if we lived at the beach.
What is your question?
What would your final words on 8 and 9 be?
Get her done.
Okay, well, don't, you know, please limit your sharing to 3 to 5 minutes. Mark?
You're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness.
Okay. And my thing, actually, along those lines is the promises. They say the promises are going to start coming through true about halfway through your ninth step. So
you'll be amazed.
So get her done, I guess. That's it.
Recovery 101.
If you are Facebook friendly, you can easily like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. We put links to shows up there. If you'd like to join the secret group, you can ask at the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page by messaging us there. You can message Shelley Burnett or Bill Piper. They will get you added to that group, and you can interact with the people you hear about on the show, like Fantastic and Bill Piper and Robert and you know, a variety pack of other people. If you want to become lead out entertainment, whether it's comedy or music or something, and you're in a band and you're sober, or, you know, at least a couple of the people in the band are sober, you can send us some MP3s. That's a preferred format. Send us a picture you'd like us to turn into a clickable link, and then send us a web address you'd like that clickable link to go to, whether it's YouTube or SoundCloud or Reverb Nation or Facebook or wherever, and we will do that for you for free and for fun. Did I say recovery101radio@gmail.com? Okay.
Sure.
Because that's where you send that other stuff to. You can also send boozy news there. And then that was that. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
So, Shelley, who's the lead out music by?
Electra.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
My feelings down deep inside, that's right.